And you are listening to Radio Free Cybertron. Brian Kilby here with you. It's April. It's April something or other. 9th. Yes, 9th. April 9th, 2001. And on the show this week, we have the ATT Buzz by John DeLuna, Point the Blame by Hooper X, Ask the Computer, and bad dubbed Japanese Singapore, Transformers Line Thing of the Week. Still don't have a real name for it. Trivia, and the first of what may lead to be many parts of the greatest fanfic ever written. It's a reading of the fanfic. It's not like it's, you'll hear it and you'll think it's the parody, but it's not the parody. It's the reading of Ravage Three Bodies Evolution by Tiger Megatron at WebTV.net, who is probably the greatest genius in the Transformers fandom. He is a hero of mine. If you want to read the actual fanfic, it's available on the webpage there somewhere. In the little info box, and if you're listening on an RFC on your site affiliate, the URL is www.tfradio.net. And if you have a website and you are not currently an RFC on your site affiliate, you can click on the RFC on your site little link at the top right hand corner of the RFC webpage. And what that does, it's a mutual benefit to RFC and your website. What it does is it puts RFC, the show, on your website, basically. It puts the new RFC broadcast each and every week. All you have to do is put a little button on your page anywhere you want to, and all the info is on the RFC on your site page. I told you the link. It's up there in the right-hand corner. Also, I want to mention something that you may not know about. Most of you probably do. As you know, Takara is re-releasing G1 toys, which, you know, is a good thing. They weren't outrageously expensive. They started off with Optimus Prime. I guess that was last year. Yeah, of course it was last year. I guess it was early 2000. And then came Ultra Magnus and Hot Rod, then Megatron. Coming up next is Starscream, but also a rumor had it that Sideswap, Red Alert, Ironhide, Ratchet, Thundercracker, and Skywarp were being released too. And they are. But the catch is, they are being released in two packs, so toys with the same mold go into the same pack. So Red Alert, Sideswap, same pack. Thundercracker, Skywarp, same pack. They are limited to 1,000 pieces each. And the cheapest place that you will probably find them is Big Bad Toy Store, because they have good prices, you know, as far as Transformer online dealers go. And they're $180 a box. That's two figures for $180. That is insane. Even when you compare that to Megatron, who is going for, at some places, $125. Megatron, you know, he's sort of a rare G1 toy. They're kind of hard to find in good condition, but he came with all sorts of neat stuff that neither the Japanese or the American toy had, like a working pellet gun and the sword, and so on and so forth. But, you know, this is just a re-released Sideswap. I mean, we've all seen Sideswap. He's not rare, you know, and Red Alert, who's not rare either. And it's $180. Crazy. Of course, I am not basing my outrage at Takara for gouging the fans for rare toys, because, like I said, they are not rare toys. It's just that, you know, this can't bode too well for the sales of the re-releases if they are only packing them at 1,000 units. You know, Takara has to make money, and it looks like Takara probably is losing money on re-releasing the G1 toys. Go figure. Let me see. Cybertron City at www.cybertroncity.com is having a contest for, I believe, a reissue Hot Rod. So you can go check that out, cybertroncity.com. I need to add Cybertron City to the links page. I have not done so yet. I need to update the links page anyway. If you link to RFC and we don't reciprocate, email me, brian@tfradio.com, and I will do my best to correct that. And if you don't link to RFC, do so. Be a good citizen. And I'm going to finish up my little monologue here by reading an email that I received from Joel Eubanks. And it is as follows: Dear Brian, will there be another poll? The answer is probably. I really only do polls when I really think that there's a reason to. I would like to put one on the page full time, but really, unless there's a definite need for feedback, or if I'm just curious about something, unless one of those two things occurs, I'm not inclined to put a new poll up, because really it's a waste of your time, and if I have to sit down for half an hour to think up a poll, really it's not worth doing, because who wants to answer, "Do you like dogs?" It's a waste of time. Well, we're going to start things off this week with trivia, because I feel like it. Okay, last week's episode was Thief in the Night. The only person to get it was Hot Rodimus. For those who do not know, I will play the clip twice, and you will identify for me the episode from which the clip comes. And if you can do so, email me at brian@tfradio.com, Brian at tfradio.com. And if you don't get it right on the first shot, try again. Unless you go through like all 98 G1 episodes or all 52 Beast Wars episodes, I'm not going to crucify you. So, like usual, I will play the clip twice, and you will email me and tell me what episode this clip comes from. And again. I tried to make it a bit more difficult than usual. If you know it, email me. Coming up next on RFC is Point the Blame.
Yo, this is Smooth K, and you're listening to Hooper X and Point the Blame on Radio Free Cybertron. I hope that makes you happy.
That's right, once again it's time for Point the Blame with your host, Hooper X. As promised, this is the second half of my Big Bad Tranny follow-up. And let's get down to business, shall we? Now, one thing that I guess I just kind of have to talk about is I got a lot of recognition this year, and it sort of frightened me in a way, given that I have been in the fan base since sometime in 1997, and this is the first Trannies ever where I've gotten nominated for any of the big categories. Trans Fan of the Year, 2 votes for Hooper X. Lovable Screwball of the Year, 2 votes for Hooper X. 4 votes for Mad Max MFE. Hi, Max. Best Nickname, 3 votes for Hooper X. Sigfile, Best Sigfile, 4 votes for Hooper X. Now, whether this was the Drunken Dutch quote variation or the Trypticon X, "You people are all stupid" variation, I'm still touched, and I want to just, why is my Sig file that funny? I mean, I placed in the top 5 in that category. Best Discussion of the Year, 1 vote for Hooper X versus the Dutch. silliest discussion of the year, 1 vote for Hooper X's credibility, and 5 votes winning the category, Hooper X versus the Dutch. I'd just like to take a moment out to thank all the Dutch botters for being such good sports and letting me slap them silly on the news group. And it's much appreciated because this is sort of a shared award between the two of us. And isn't that sweet? Best Transformers IRC channel, Pound Ouija, sweeps it in a complete and utter slaughter, which is exactly what it should have done. Best Transformers IRC participant, 2 votes for Hooper X. And the one that really shocked me, in a way, was Best Role-Playing of an Original Character on a Mush and or Muck, 7 votes for Hardcore, played by me, Hooper X, at Transformers Lost Years. Now, mind you, I haven't touched the Hardcore character in about a year, maybe 2 now, which is, in and of itself, something of a testament, I guess, to the character, that and the fact that, you know, I voted for him myself, since it did say you could only vote, you could not vote for a character you are currently playing. Since I haven't played him in 3 years, there goes my vote. And in the fanfic categories, I was quite surprised to see that the 15-minute to write magnum opus Hooper X versus the Dutch got votes in both Best Fanfic of the Year and Funniest Fanfic of the Year, and that my eminently forgettable attempt at a World's Worst Fanfic, WWFF Nitro, got an astounding 3 votes in Funniest Fanfic Ever, despite basically being the words Scorponok dies repeated about 75 times. For those of you who voted for it, I hate you. You know who you are. And moving now to the free-for-all potpourri categories, I have a couple of interesting things I would like to point out from, Alex Amer wrote Hooper X versus the Dutch was kind of funny to watch until it got down to a last word contest. Thank you, Alex. You proved my point. I'm funny. From Cool Slider, Hooper X, you're funny as hell, man, and you can be a good role model for me with your straight-edgedness. The only thing stopping that from happening is your hate for the Dutch. Come on, can't all nations get along? No. No, we can't. Go back to Canada, you dirty Canuck, you. And now, as a special treat, I will read off for you, in its entirety, my Trannies free-for-all. First suggestion for next year, a music category for songs that have Transformers-esque content. Example, Pimp Daddy Welfare's 3 Canadian Go-Bots. Second suggestion, some kind of category for music videos and other edited such things, as there are quite a few online now. Final suggestion, before the useless and hopefully funny, more worsts. Please, God, please let us do worst quotes. Hooper X's BotCon 2000 review, a new record for obscenity. Literally, over 50 words strong enough to merit deletion from both moderated groups, not to mention being extremely hateful to boot. Should I be proud? Yes! Next really obnoxious trans fan trend, Trypticon X imitation. Gratuitous site plug, sexfxworld.com, kills lonely dead. Where'd they go? You burn in hell. Spooky, spoil shocker act, will you? You guys have better knock that shit off this year. Juna, Jonna, Yana, whatever, and Elliot. A write your own trainees is not an open invitation to write a novel. And as an interesting side, Elliot did not show up this year, poor baby, sparing us all the agony of having to poke through all his useless crap. Yana, however, remains his same overly verbose Finnish self. Almost an afterthought, Peace Machines. The world just lost another Hulkamaniac. Hulks. How many times has this guy died? When he actually snuffs it, no one's gonna believe him. 50,000 lonely trans fans can't be wrong. Blue Jackal. Wait. Yeah, they can. I mean, she's a nice girl and all, but what's the attraction here? I don't see it. The biggest personality shift in the course of 1 year? Me, Hooper X. Compare me circa 1999 on ATT, in last year's trainees, on the mushes, etc. to what you got now? What the hell happened to me, man? But really, the most touching moment in the trainees for me was from Super Spy, the Golden Tree of Asbestos and Mirth Award. This year's winner is Hooper X of Alt Toys Transformers. Whether a random AT-tier is posting their entire emotional history to the news group, or people start to make fun of the United States, this guy's been in the forefront of the battlefield. Hooper knows exactly where to fire off his shots, and he never misses. God bless him. And Super Spy, thank you. I salute you! Thylacine 2000 writes, Funniest Flame War! Pretty much anything involving Hooper X. If you think he's not funny, for your own sake, try and let it... If you think he's not funny, for your own sake, try not to let it show. And finally, a very special shout-out to the stupidest thing I read in the trannies this year. Whoever is dubbing Car Robots, please don't mess it up. Don't call it Transformers 2000. Don't call Fire Convoy Fire Prime. Don't call Gelshark, Gildo, Gusha, and Gaskunk by their North American toy names. Don't change God Magnus' name. Don't change Ai's name, and I better hear her famous Emergency Emergency. Don't change any other names because of the sound Japanese. And most of all, do not Americanize it by inverting scenes so that the steering wheel is on the left side. Damn, I just know they're going to mess it up. Here's a message for you, friend. You're stupid. They're going to call them by their North American toy names because they want to sell the toys in North America. They're going to change character names because they can, and if they want to, they will. I hope you get hit by a truck. Which brings me to my final point on the trannies. The one thing, as much as I love the trannies, that I hate about the trannies is the long, drawn-out, useless piles and piles of awards for stupid crap that people make up at the end. A special mention this year goes to a guy who normally I can tolerate, but Particle Man, who pretty much broke down Transformers into every conceivable niggling little category and gave awards out. Best 1985 car, best 1985 minibot, best underoo, whatever. We don't care what you think. This is a place to write a few concise messages, maybe some suggestions for next year, and be gone. Thank you. Now, that ought to about do it for the 2000 Trannies wrap-up here on Point the Blame. The Point the Blame email address is killmylonely@AOL.com. The opening theme is by Catch-22, and the host is SuperX of SexSexWorld.com. Now, the show is on Radio Free Cybertron, of course. Come back next week for more fun right here on
Point the Blame!
Transforming laser
eyes! Flying on the rim, in the air, and on the ground! Transform my rotors are spinning! Can't get shaped before your eyes, there's a rotor shooting guys! When they get into a battle, they be winning! Blazing in the dark, laser eye guard! Metamorphing into warriors! Electro Wolf, there's old joke! Fighting with lightning
laser blades!
How friendly motors!
Cause I'm a transforming rotor!
Transformers Generation 2, rotors and laser rods each sold separately.
Those ads are a crime against humanity. If you want to know when RFC is updated and you don't want to check Alt Toys Transformers, that's where I usually announce updates. Join the RFC mailing list. That's where I update you guys. That's a little anime cliche there, you guys. Well, I update you on when RFC is updated. Simple as that. Coming up now here on Radio Free Cybertron, Ask the Computer.
You got mail, fat boy.
I'm back. It's me, the computer. I'm here to answer your questions, whatever they may be. The address is thecomputer@tfradio.com. Let's get down to business, shall we? The first email is actually Transformers related. Wow. I have watched the Headmaster show from Japan, and after watching it, I don't understand how Cybertron was destroyed in the show and then how Beast Wars in Japan would make sense if Cybertron is still there, since Cybertron was never somehow brought back in the show. Or did they just not bother with it? Signed, Adam. Dear Adam, I don't know, really. Signed, your pal, the computer. The next email comes from Hooper X. Dear computer, will you go to the prom with me? Signed, Hooper X. Dear Hooper X, No, Hoop, I won't. When I'm unplugged, I tend to die. You will remain lonely, apologies. Signed, the computer. On to the next email. Dear computer, are you related to Stephen Hawking? From Crosscut. No, Crosscut, I'm not. Stephen Hawking isn't a real person. He was created by Hallmark to sell wheelchairs and voice synthesizers. Signed, Jerkow, the computer. And, finally, the last email comes from a familiar face. Dear computer, it's me again, how are you doing? I would like to show you pictures of my army, but I don't know where your address is. Oh, a new show is coming to Cartoon Network and it's called The Big O. It seems like it will be cool. From Joel Eubanks. Dear Joel, I'm doing fine. I'd like to see pictures of your army too. But there's one problem. I don't have eyes, so my address is irrelevant. And yeah, I've seen The Big O. It's odd. It's better than Outlaw Star, though. That show gave me the creeps. Catwomen shouldn't be allowed on television. Your bud, the computer. See how easy that was? Just email me your questions. Send it to thecomputer@tfradio.com. Ask me whatever, I don't care. I'll do my best to respond. See you next week.
Radio Free Cybertron!
Coming up now on Radio Free Cybertron is the AT&T Buzz by John DeLuna.
How you doing, everybody? This is the AT&T Buzz, and let's get some toy news out of the way first. Cycledrone and Spy Streak are showing up this week in a lot better numbers, still only at Target. But in their second full week of release, they're showing up in a lot healthier numbers. The only problem is Spy Streak is short packed. He's 2 to a case. Cycledrone is 3 to a case. And that one toy difference is making a surprisingly big difference in being able to find Spy Streak. He sells out pretty fast. And when you've only got 2 to 4 on the shelf at one time, they don't last long. But I picked them up last week, and they're great toys, from what I can tell. I haven't gotten a chance to getting around to opening Cycledrone, but Spy Streak's great. Good size, fun little toy in both modes. Good gimmick. He's got a spring-loaded launcher, and he's a basic. That's a big deal, actually. Kind of like Tank Drone. And it's a shame that Beast Machines is going out right now when... It seems that the designers have really gotten the hang of the lines approach, or they did towards the end, but that's life, and that's the way Transformers does. Every Metal 2s started out terrible, and they ended strong with two of the best toys we've probably gotten in ever with the two Ultras. Really strong finish, and the last two basics, Spidor and Stink Bomb, were two of the greatest basics we ever got. And so Transmetal 2, the line, started out weak and ended as well as anybody could imagine. Transmetals is probably the anomaly. It started great. It ended great. It seems like the designers and Hasbro at that time with Beast Wars, that was really their prime with the Beast Wars line, the Transmetal line, because everybody was on the same page. Everybody knew exactly what each other was thinking and what each other had in mind, and it showed in the toys. And speaking of the two new basics, Spy Streak in particular seems to have what appears to be some production flaws, which is kind of surprising for Hasbro. Lots of people are reporting, at least with this first wave of Spy Streaks, that lots of the toys have problems with the shoulder. That lots of the toys come with two left shoulders or a misassembled toy in some way, usually focused on the shoulder pieces. And the problems, lots of times, most of the times, are fixable, just switching one shoulder for the other or, you know, realigning it. Sometimes they're not. Having two left shoulders is not fixable. But nobody should really bash this or bash Hasbro for this because it is unusual. It's out of the ordinary. Production flaws are sloppy. They shouldn't happen, but they do. On the other hand, from what I've heard, WebDiver is rife with production flaws and quality control. Actually, there is no quality control. One person I know had 3 out of his 4 WebDivers with major flaws. Major flaws. Bad paint jobs, brittle plastic. The toy breaks in your hand. Plastic quality is zero. You know, paint job is an afterthought. Really a sad toy line. I mean, I think it's obvious from the very cheap packaging WebDiver has. It has hardly any inserts. It's in cheap, low-quality paper. It's worse than anything Car Robots came in. The cheapest packaging that Car Robots ever had was Gelshart. And it was basically just a U.S. mega box with cheaper paper. And it was really terrible. It was awful. But WebDiver is even worse. WebDiver is Bush League. The whole thing is Bush. I mean, it's obvious that towards the completion of this, and maybe even halfway through the design concept of WebDiver, Takara realized this was a dog. And right now they're just going through the paces. They know this thing isn't going to work. The whole concept's way too expensive for the Japanese economy. And if it doesn't have Transformers on it, it's not going to get the import numbers that it could. So they realize this is going to tank. So why put too much into it? Just go through the paces. Make some money if you can. Try not to bleed all over the floor too much. And just make it through to Japanese Beast Machines. Okay, moving away from toys on ATT, there was a reset of a question that will not die. It will never go away. No matter what. At least what? Once every 1 or 2 months, there's going to be somebody to ask, is Transformers considered anime? And it's not considered anime. Period. I'd like to say that's the end of it, but it's not. There's always going to be somebody to ask that question, and I can't see how G1, and to a lesser extent the movie, could ever be considered anime because, well, unless your definition of anime is anything that comes from Japan is anime, you can't do it. You can't even begin to consider G1 anime. And you can't even begin to convince me that anything that comes from Japan should be considered anime, because that's way too broad. I mean, every major and even some minor corporations in America or studios that deal in animation have at least 1 or 2 things over the course of time. Have at least 1 or 2 projects that are animated by a studio or two in Japan. I mean, you can't beat it. It's a bargain. They work for nothing. They charge a heck of a lot less than any place over on this side of the ocean. I mean, you can't blame them. And it's obvious. I mean, in Japan, what? They have 12-year-olds that work 15 hours in the animation studio for an egg roll and a piece of a yen. You can't beat that. That's a bargain. Now, why is G1 not anime? Well, it's because anime is a style. It's not just anything that comes from Japan, period. Anime is a style. It's got camera angles that are extreme. The camera whips and pans and tilts and zooms in and out, sometimes to a fault where you can't tell what's going on in anime. It tries to be too dynamic. Tries to be too flashy. G1 is not flashy at all. The camera stayed pretty static. Anime's got a certain style of the way emotions are expressed. I mean, you didn't see in G1 any of those cliched anime emotions, thank God. If Optimus Prime got nervous, you didn't see a giant teardrop spontaneously form on the side of his head. You didn't see any big toothy grins. You didn't see girls with blue hair, and all the humans looked like their ages. I mean, in anime, no matter how old somebody is, chances are they look 15. Dr. Archival looked old. Spike looked pretty young. Spark Plug looked like a fat old man, just like he was supposed to. It was perfect. In anime, everybody looks like a 12-year-old girl's dream. And G1 is not a 12-year-old girl's dream. That's why we have My Little Pony. And that's why they have a fandom, as scary as that is. And you should be scared, realizing that, yes, even though Transformer fans and My Little Pony fans, and I guess G.I. Joe fans, kind of run on the same level, because we're all cousins, in a way, I guess, as scary as that seems, you should be afraid of My Little Pony fans. The thought is disturbing. Now, I'm not going to delude myself and not admit that guys in their mid-20s, heck, guys past the age of 15, looking for toys online, paying way too much for 15-year-old toys, obsessing about characters and a cartoon from the mid-80s, and writing fanfics, and twisting and contorting and obsessing over those characters, and changing those simple cartoon characters into something more complicated and twisted than they really have any right to be, and going to Walmart once or twice a week, and sometimes once a day, and sometimes twice a day to get groceries, happen to pass by the toy aisle and search frantically for that new Beast Machine toy. That kind of behavior isn't normal, but that's us. And we like it, and we enjoy it, and we get our kicks and our jollies out of it, and that's fine. If somebody doesn't understand, that's cool. That's their problem. It doesn't take away from our buzz. But I'm not going to pretend to be the type that's comfortable with the image of a fat 30-year-old woman combing the hair of a My Little Pony doll, or somebody going to a convention full of fat 30-year-old women combing the hair of their My Little Ponies, or dyeing their hair like My Little Ponies, or role-playing as their favorite My Little Pony. That's an ugly door I just opened. That's not a pretty image. And that's the ATT Buzz. And after opening that ugly door and putting that not-so-beautiful image inside my head, I don't think I'm going to sleep well for the next 2 weeks. But that's the ATT Buzz. I'm John DeLuna.
And thank you there, John. Coming up now on Radio Free Cybertron is the Japanese dubbed line of the week. And this clip comes from the famous Battle of the Tape Decks. Blaster and Soundwave.
Darn that sound wave.
Billy, you okay?
Not really. Find the power pack. Rescue Optimus Prime. Go!
Billy, I promise you, I'll get those dirty scum for you. Cassette Robot, I'll leave this to you.
All right, chief.
Darn that sound wave. And you really don't get much worse than that. And coming up now on Radio Free Cybertron is the reading, let me stress that, reading of the Ravage Three Bodies Evolution fanfic by Tiger Megatron as performed by Ouija. The first part next week.
Ravage Three Bodies Evolution. Written by Tiger Megatron 1 at WebTV.net. Performed by Ouija. Narrated by me, the computer. bunch of random crap. In light of the new Ravage Walmart toy and remarks by Hasbro in the tech specs that Shadow Panther on their Hasbro.com is Ravage in disguise, here is a cool fanfic of Lang merging all three personas and body types. Here is a brief introduction paragraph at the end of Beast Wars Season 3 Episode 2. Tarantula's robo gun insects kick Ravage's body and head parts into the ocean. Now the story will pick up from there. As the Hawk returns back to Earth in the third season of Beast Wars episode number 50 called Other Victories.
Oh no, our plan of making a Transformer return to prehistoric Earth has failed.
Just then Tarantulas explodes.
Come on, I have to get you out of here, Tiger Hawk.
Who is carrying Tiger Hawk's body?
Let's scan his body, Cheetor, and try to reduplicate it.
Scanning is complete. We managed to download all of his previous Roger blueprints as well.
Perhaps the captured spark of Ravage can be of use to us after all.
Just then Cheetor runs out of the cavern with Tiger Hawk on his back. Time passes and the Hawk develop several strategies of their own using the time-traveling factor as their main weapon, coupled with a Ravage experiment. The Beast Wars eventually end and the Remian bots head off into space to enter the time portal that will bring them back into their own timeline and a direct path to planet Cybertron.
Why am I here floating in space like this?
You are not in space. You are on our homeworld that is invisible to scanners and the well-trained eye.
How many more years will you keep my spark from joining the Matrix?
You will be given a new mission, and it will be to destroy the Cybertronian threat.
I have no need of another mission. Let me fade out in peace.
You should be honed to be given a purpose in life.
Juaxus, how is it possible that you live? I thought you died in the TF Generation 2 comics number 11.
My body died, but my spark merged with the Fox species and gave them a new purpose.
We are the result of spark mergers, the cloning spark process.
Since Juaxus was responsible for us being created, we decided to let his spark join us and lead our species into a new era and purpose.
What plan? Why am I here? Let my spark go join the Matrix.
Whereas you have given up on yourself, we will provide you with a new mission and give you a new body and powers to match.
He is a traitor and lacks the intelligence to carry out our orders.
We have no choice but to trust him, but will implant a self-destruct device should he rebel.
If I decide to take the plan, then what's in it for me?
A chance to change TF history and become the leader of the Cybertronian race.
I will need a new cloaking ship.
Just make sure you get the job done.
Just then the complete Hawk intelligence takes the downloaded scans from the Cheetor body and see that there are three forms of Cheetor that they downloaded. Regular Cheetor, TM1 Cheetor, and TM2 Cheetor.
Scanning is complete. Let the spark of Ravage now join the body of regular Cheetor's newly designed body.
Just then the Ravage spark enters the new body.
Why were the original yellow Cheetor colors not used? Why black?
The color black was chosen, so it could hide better in the shadows.
This new body is stronger. From now on, my code name will be Shadow.
Get the time portal ready, Jax.
What course shall I set it at?
Prehistoric Earth.
No, we are done with that timeline. We are sending you back in time to 2005.
Why 2005?
So Revan can destroy the TF Transformers while they're confused in battle.
But what if Unicron found out? He would destroy us immediately. Unicron is indestructible and has never been destroyed. Truly, we're no match for him. There is nothing we can destroy him.
Don't question my orders, just press the time portal button.
Just then Shadow gets into his cloak ship and heads for the 2005 time portal. Shadow arrives in the 2005 time frame, cloaked in his ship invisible.
Race their defenses, Constructicons! Merge into Devastator!
Prepare to die.
I better get out of here.
Dinobots, destroy Devastator.
Why you not come with us, Prime, to Autobot City?
I have to find Megatron and talk some sense into him.
You got the touch. You got the power. Yeah!
Just then the Dinobots and Grime leave the Shed Lionhead, fork in different directions.
Megatron, slow down. We need to talk.
Decepticons attack Prime!
Just then some of the Decepticons attack Prime.
You're not getting away that easy.
Just then Prime fights his way through to Megatron and corners him on top of a high mountain.
State your business, Prime!
Just then the two leader talk things out meanwhile.
Let's check up on Shadow through our spy cameras and listening devices.
Come in, Shadow, do you read me?
Who is this?
It's the Rock, talking to you through a device we implanted on your body which allows us to telecommunicate to you from any time, period, or place.
What's the situation now?
Not much. Megatron and Prime are talking out their differences, and soon Prime will convince Megatron to become good again, and the Decepticons will follow Megatron's lead, and the two fighting factions will unite into a new faction called Cybertronians. There's no reason for me to witness this historic moment. You place me in the wrong time era.
You fool! You will change history and make the Cybertronian Alliance void.
What's going on here, Vok? I thought the mission was to be mild. This is too extreme. Surely Unicron will awaken.
That's impossible. Unicron doesn't awaken until 2021.
I am against this order you're giving, Ravage.
Ravage, destroy the peace negotiations between Megatron and Prime by killing both leaders.
Say what?
You have your orders.
I won't obey these orders. Megatron is my mentor.
It's them or you, Ravage. You are a mere puppet to us. A slave.
Just then the Rock sends electronic pulses through Ravage's body and spark.
I beg of you, stop. I will carry out your orders.
Consider that a warning. Next time you disobey us, we will activate the self-destruct button and kill you.
Why are you doing this? It's wrong!
How dare you question our orders, Decepticon?
I am the leader here.
Correction. You were the leader.
I won't let you get away with this.
Just then a massive war takes place on the Invisible Rock. Planet and the entire Rock attack Jaxus, and Jaxus loses the battle and is damaged beyond repair. Just then Jaxus sees a ship and sets a course for an unknown timeline. Jaxus wanted to go to 2005, but because he was getting fired on, he rushed the process. Before the ship got destroyed, thus Jaxus goes, went into an unknown timeline.
Should we send the ship to pursue him?
No! Jaxus is damaged so badly he won't last through the time portal traveling procedure.
Jaxus, only a minute or two worth of life before his spark dies.
What? Attend to matters at hand. Shadow cloaks the ship and fires torpedoes at the two leaders.
As you wish.
Just then as Prime is talking to Megatron, a cloaked shot fires and hits Megatron.
I thought we were discussing peace, Prime! How dare you send one of your Autobots to attack me from behind!
What are you talking about?
Just then Megatron turns around and shows Prime the battle wound on his back.
Megatron transform gun mode! What? Why can't I transform? You studied my weakness and made a Autobot hit me in the right spot!
I don't know what you're talking about!
How dare you take me for a fool in here! I was trying to reach a peace between us!
Just then Megatron and Prime attack each other.
What have I done? Was my personal life so precious to me that I would risk the lives of others? I don't care if the Vok kills me. I must set things right before it's too late.
Stay out of the fight, Hot Rod. That's Prime's fight.
Yes, Cup.
Just then Cup gets a call from Autobot City and rushes away from the scene. Hot Rod watches the battle from afar.
I must decloak and show myself to Hot Rod. Hot Rod, I am from the future. You must help me stop this fight between Megatron and Prime.
Just then Shadow decloaks and lets Hot Rod see him.
Whoa, where did you come from?
Where indeed? Tune in next week for the next nail-biting, mind-numbing chapter.
The Decepticons are attacking! Destroy them!
No, wait, it's Quick Switch, Six Shot Sun, and he's on our side!
Determined to make good, whereas Decepticon father went bad, Quick Switch joins the Autobots.
Quick Switch is faster and tougher!
He's a tank, a plane, a cruiser, a gun, a boomer, and a robot!
Quick and you, Six!
Quick Switch, the new ultimate challenge!
And that's Radio Free Cybertron this week. Come back next for more in Transformers-related internet radio show goodness. For the rest of the RSC staff, Brian Kilby, signing off.